Going to be in Acts chapter 17, so if you want to find Acts chapter 17 in your copy of the Scriptures. I'm also going to be in 1 Corinthians 15, so if you want to put your finger there so you're ready for it, because we're going to read from there as well. We live in a society, I know I'm not breaking news to you here, but we live in a society where people lie to us every day, and it seems that those lies, this is espoused by the entire world. And sometimes it's a little daunting, since we know truth. And as we share truth, we see what our culture does to people who dare to tell truth. You know, you're going to deal with people maybe this week that believe things that up until a few years ago was considered mental illness. You're going to deal with people that reject the truth that you teach or that you say. You know, there are actually doctors who don't believe in immunity anymore. There are scientists that are questioning whether there's more than man and woman. Politicians, you ask a question, what is a man, what is a woman? And they can't answer the question, or they won't answer the question. So there are certainly truths that we on a regular basis are attacked for, we are ridiculed for, canceled for. It's a crazy, crazy, wild, weird world we live in, and God calls us to engage it. And I hope that you will engage this crazy, weird world. So we're in Acts chapter 17. And those truths that I mentioned, a couple of the truths I mentioned, those are important, but those are not the most important truth. The most important truth is what Paul and Silas were telling the Thessalonians and the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. And so the purpose of this message is to share with you that when you tell this truth, and if you've done this on occasion, you know, there are different responses that you have from people. And you can't allow the responses to stop you from telling the truth. Rarely do you have someone say, oh, thank you so much for telling me the truth. Now, the truth that we're going to talk about in Acts chapter 17 is that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. And in this passage, Paul is talking to people who were not expecting the Messiah to come and suffer. Rather, the popular belief, even the disciples, as they were following Jesus, they would ask him, when are you going to establish the kingdom? The disciples even struggled with this, because this was a common conception that the Messiah is going to come, and he's going to be a political or a warrior, and he's going to restore Israel to its glory. And he will do that. When Jesus comes back, he's going to do that. But Paul was teaching them that Messiah needs to suffer first. That's in Acts chapter 17:3. We'll read it in a second here. Now, the scriptural teaching was mostly ignored or at least misunderstood to the people that Paul was teaching. Jesus, when he was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, a teacher of teachers, and he's trying to bring this home. He says to them, if you want to see God's kingdom, you need to be born again, born from above. Being born once is not going to get you anywhere except a ticket to hell. You need to be born again, born from above. You need to believe in what God has done for you. And he's quoting from Numbers chapter 21 as he's moving through this passage, and Nicodemus is saying, I don't get this. And Jesus says, think about when Moses was instructed to make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. The people had been bitten by snakes. They were dying. And so God said, if you just put this pole up in the middle of the camp, and anyone who looks at it will be saved. Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, that's me. I'm going to be put on a cross, and if anyone will look to me in faith, they will be forgiven of their sin. And even Nicodemus, who eventually would be saved, he said, how in the world could this be? And so as you tell truth to people, They may not get it. Just because the truth has been dispensed doesn't mean they're going to understand. Doesn't mean they're going to accept it. And as I said before, not many people will say, oh, thank you so much for telling me what my parents never told me, that my church never told me. Thank you so much for that. Generally speaking, that's the response that you get. But be encouraged by this. Nobody can come to the truth, this truth, unless Jesus, unless the Father draws them, unless God draws them. And you can find that in John chapter 6. Jesus is saying, no one can come to me unless the Father draws them. God in eternity past, and this is the truth that Paul is telling these people over weeks of teaching, that God in eternity past made the decision, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we're going to make a universe, we're going to make mankind. And this mankind, these people are going to rebel, and they're going to need a Savior. And Jesus is the Savior. He volunteered, I'll do that. And people would become helpless and hopeless, unable to understand the truth because it's so easy to believe lies. They could not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Anointed One, who had come to destroy death and hell. And he will release those who come in faith and say, I believe what you did on the cross. And this was accomplished not by conquering nations, not by being a political leader, but by dying, saving all of us, if we look in faith, from the curse, death, and hell. Because Jesus' death on the cross satisfied the holiness of God's divine standard because we couldn't do it. Not one of us in here. Now, when you tell the truth, you can get a variety of responses. And we're going to see just a couple of them in Acts chapter 17. So we're in Acts chapter 17. I'll start in verse 1. Follow along with me as I read. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ. Some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. Father, I pray that you'd help us today to be encouraged to tell the truth and not be surprised at the outcome, whether you save someone's soul through your word or whether you cause people to just attack. Pray that you'd help us and encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Paul made a habit of telling the truth. He went to a place where people counted on the fact that truth was going to be spoken. And he did not disappoint. He told them the truth. But I want to just park on Paul right now. I mean, when he went into this synagogue, when they found out that Paul was there, you see, Paul was a Pharisee. They wanted to hear from him. And obviously, word had not gotten out that Paul had become a follower of Jesus Christ. But they were really happy. They knew him because he was violently loving God in his mind by tracking down those Christians. And he was also a student of Gamaliel. And so he was a pretty famous guy. And so he went into the synagogue. He was a known commodity. And they would want him to speak. Can you imagine the slow burn that was as he began to talk about Messiah? And some of the leaders were thinking, I think he's talking about Jesus. So I believe as he was invited to speak, he was telling the people, listen, you've got it wrong. The Messiah is come to suffer first. And the truth opposed every teaching that they had heard. It was quite an obstacle. As you tell truth to people about the gospel, and they have never heard about the gospel, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin, and that they need to respond and confess that they're sinners and they need salvation from a holy God with Jesus' blood. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can convict and change someone's life. It wasn't Paul's unbelievable smarts that did it, although he was a smart guy. And it's not your unbelievable clever mind that's going to bring people to Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit working through His Word, and He calls whoever He wants. Only God can save a soul. And His teaching was that Jesus was Messiah, and He rose from the dead. Of course, this is the linchpin of your faith. Sometimes we will talk about Jesus and the fact that He died and He was buried. Sometimes we leave out the best part. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not stay dead. And if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul, he has an expanded passage here, and I'm going to take the time to read it to show you how important the resurrection is. Now, if Christ, in verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Even those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. That's how important the resurrection is, because it doesn't matter if Christ is still dead. As an aside, you make sure when you tell the gospel that don't forget that Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. He rose from that grave. God accepted the sacrifice. God the Father said, I accept His payment. And therefore, all of us who believe can be covered with the blood of Jesus Christ and be saved. All right, that's the truth that Paul was telling. Now, I told more than what's written there, but he says that he was there for three Sabbath days, and so I imagine he touched on these things. But if we look at Acts chapter 7 and verse 4, we see a response of what happened. Some of them believed. Now, who were the some of them? The some of them were the Jewish believers, the Jewish people who had faithfully followed God. They believed in God. They were frequently and faithfully in the synagogue, listening to God's word. Some of them believed, and they followed Paul and Silas. They were joined with them. And there were others. It's Luke's words say it this way, some of the Jews and a lot of the Greeks, and not just a couple, leading women. I think it's so great that Luke added that the Holy Spirit directed Luke to lead him to say that. Lots more Gentile converts than Jewish converts. And herein lies the issue for those who are unbelievers. And here is the response. First of all, the response, God saved some people. That's awesome. Impossible by themselves. But think about the other people who heard the message and did not believe. They're angry. They're frustrated. They are motivated to stop this preaching, to stop this teaching. When people are confronted with the truth, the reality of Jesus Christ as Messiah, there's often a passionate response. I don't know if you in your life have witnessed this, but there's often a passionate and volatile response. Don't you find it interesting how these people responded? How these religious, God-fearing people responded to the truth being told? What did they have to be jealous about? Could they be concerned that, and not a few leading women, rich people, were following this new way? What is it going to be? What's going to happen with their tithes? What about their attendance? They're starting to ching, 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 ching in their minds. They're thinking about the fact that these people were brave enough to leave a tried and true system. And so, number two, telling the truth brings animosity. And we see that if you look at Acts 17, 5 through 9. But the Jews were jealous. Taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them, Paul and Silas, out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authority, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also, and Jason has received them. And they're all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying, 'There's another king, Jesus.' And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things. And when they had taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Regardless, it scared them. They did not like it. They're changing everything," as they said, they've turned the world upside down. So what lengths do these religious leaders, unbelieving Jews, what do they do? They find wicked men to stir up the town. They form a mob. These self-righteous individuals, they instigate, they work on low-character people, people who are easily manipulated and maybe paid off. Hey, let's start a mob. They whip them up into a frenzy, and they say, "Go to Jason's house." And so they're making a big ruckus, this riot. And they're saying, "It's not us." The Jews are saying, "It's not us. It's just these people." Sounds familiar. It's not our fault. So we see here Paul and Silas tell the truth about Jesus. Some people believe, and other people lose their ever-loving minds. The unbelievers go to awful lengths. They preach ethics and morals. And what do? They find some people to do their evil work for them so they can have their hands clean. Telling the truth brings blessing. Lives are changed. People are saved. Telling the truth causes people to lose their minds sometimes. So they use the law to arrest Jason and the brothers, and they took money for security. That means they had to post bond. They had to post bail. And they would lose the money if this happened again. And so Paul and Silas left. They said, "We've done our work here. Jason and the brothers, you guys take care of it from here." This is why in verse 10 it says that Paul and Silas left. They didn't want to cause Jason and the brothers any more problems. They must have been pretty confident that these men and women were ready to share their faith with others. Telling the truth also brings vengeance. Part of losing people's minds causes them to not let it go. They're just on it. They will not let it go. So we see in chapter 17, verse 10, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. So Paul and Silas leave Thessalonica. Let's go to Berea, 50 miles away, 45 miles away, and we're going to start preaching the gospel here. And this kind of truth-telling does not stay localized. This kind of stuff gets passed around. In verse 11, we see Luke give his thoughts upon his experience and the Holy Spirit working. These Jews in the synagogue were more, as Luke calls it, more noble. Why? It says, because they checked it out. They listened to Paul's preaching, and they checked it out. Here's how you can be more noble. When your Sunday school teacher starts talking about, open up your Bibles to such and such. Open it up. Read it. Make sure it's still there. Make sure he's telling she's telling the truth. Follow along in your scriptures. When Pastor Dave is preaching, or Pastor Joe, or anyone else, and when they say, open up your Bibles, open them up. And make sure what they're preaching is consistent with the word. And so the Bereans, they were listening to Paul, and then they were looking for it in the scripture. That made them more noble, because they were not going to emotionally receive it. They were not going to blindly receive it. They were going to check it out. They saw it with their own eyes. And when they saw it with their own eyes, many believed. Many of them, many Jews in the synagogue believed. And not just a few Greek women of high standing, rich and powerful. Now, this kind of response, as I said, this word gets out. and it enraged the Thessalonians when they heard it. They were motivated. You got to give them that. Let's go 45 miles on foot. That's a long way. That's an overnighter or two. And so they went to Berea, just like they did in Thessalonica, and they agitated the people, and they all got angry. And this tactic that wicked unbelievers have used here, they use it today. I'm having trouble with this. Please forgive me. The tactic, they were trying to legally shut down or attempt to shut down the preaching of the truth that God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross. And his death, burial, and resurrection causes lost people to lose their minds. The truth of the gospel is this, and if you've never heard this before, I would love to share with you from Scripture what this is all about. You and I are born in sin. We've been infected with this disease called sin, which separates us from a holy God and leads us, if not reversed, to an eternity in hell. We're born in sin, and if it's not reversed, we're in a bad way. We're helpless and hopeless left to ourselves. And you might be sitting there thinking, I'm okay. Maybe I just don't believe in God or sin. Regardless, people are sinners, and God's a holy God, and He will judge them. But the God-man Christ, the Anointed One, came to reverse that. By living a holy life, never sinning, became the perfect sacrifice because he's the God-man, and he laid down his life. He took your place. And if a person will believe that and confess, I am a sinner, I need salvation, believing what God has promised, that if a person believes, they will be forgiven and brought into God's family. This is the truth that Paul and Silas spoke to the Thessalonians, and some believed. This is the truth that he spoke to the Bereans, and many believed. And some people lost their minds. Let these encourage you as you prepare yourself to teach the Word of God, to preach the Word of God, to talk about who Jesus is. There are going to be some times when God blesses your heart and allows people to come to know him. And there's going to be times when people are going to get so agitated, they might throw down with you. And there's everything in between. Be encouraged. Tell the truth. Let God sort out the responses. So let's pray together. Father, we're about to celebrate communion. We're about to remember that the Lord Jesus was in heaven, enjoying being worshipped 24/7, honored 24/7. And he put that aside. He came to this earth. He lived a holy life. He was treated cruelly, and he did not react out of anger. But Father, he laid down his life for us, and we thank you for that. Thank you for that truth. And we pray that we'd be bold. In spite of the fact that you can save whoever you want, and sometimes people just get angry about it, we pray that we'd be okay with that. Thank you, Father, for your love, your kindness, your salvation. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.